Her Frozen Heart by Lulu Taylor. Read by Claire Corbett. Tommy was coming back across the fields when she saw Bertie Potter cycling up the lane. It had been a beautiful afternoon, the colours of early summer almost too much to bear. She was dazzled by the intense cornflower blue of the sky, flooded with golden light, the deep lush greens of the woods and fields, the blues, whites and vibrant magentas of the meadow flowers. The birds had been going crazy all day, thrilled by the onset of warmth and burgeoning growth. They'd zipped about the hedgerows and sung wildly from the trees. One robin had accompanied her in fluttering dashes as she'd walked the dogs up to the cottages and back. Spotty had met her there. No, not Spotty. Mr. Spottiswood. I must remember to call him that. And they had inspected the living conditions to see if they were suitable for the girls coming that summer to help bring in the harvest. Greaves, the tenant farmer, had joined them, grumbling about having women working on the farm, even though he could remember the same thing happening in the last war.
"Modern girls won't be like the other ones," Greaves had declared.
He was grizzled with age and decades of labouring outdoors.
"They don't know what hard work is. Only bothered about dancing and hairstyles and lipstick."
"Let's give them a chance, Greaves, shall we?"
Tommy had said lightly.
"They might not be as bad as you think. We're all trying to do our bit with things going so badly abroad."
That had shut Greaves up. Everyone had been pulling together so much in recent days, since the disaster at Dunkirk.
Not disaster, she reminded herself. Miracle.
But the news was pretty awful, and people were nervous about the future. If things went on this way, they didn't stand a hope.
"We have to keep on. It's all we can do."
Tommy had thought of Alec, far away in France. He hadn't been evacuated with the others. He was still there, fighting, or on the move. No one knew. She imagined him for a moment in the French countryside, the enemy nearby, then swiftly banished the image. These days, she tried to think of him as little as possible. It helped.
"It's here and now that matters. The children, the family, the house. Looking after them is how I can help."
Spotty,
oh crumbs, Mr. Spottiswood I mean,
had said that if the cottages were spruced up, the land girls could be paid less in consideration of their better boarding conditions, and Greaves had clearly liked the idea. But Tommy had said she didn't agree. They'd get their money and a decent lodging too, and then she left the men to it. No doubt they were cursing her name and wondering why they were having to obey her and not her brother. But she didn't care. Let them. Striding back across the fields, she breathed in the sweet air and the calm of the afternoon. There was barely a sound, except for the birds chirruping and tweeting away. A blur of wings darted past her, and her robin eyed her from the nearby hedge before swooping away again. The sun shone brightly, and a line of sweat prickled at her hairline. Her jersey was uncomfortably hot, so she took it off and slung it over her shoulders, letting the sunshine warm her skin through the light cotton of her blouse. The long grass waved against the bare skin of her legs below her skirt line.
I almost feel alive again.
Of course, she never would be, not in the way she once was. And why should she, when miles away frightful battles were raging, men were dying, ordinary people's lives and homes were being destroyed? A great black cloud was rolling towards them, engulfing everything in its path, bringing death and chaos. Coming over the brow of the hill, she saw the house, ancient and beautiful, sitting just below her. The sight comforted her. It was home, an enduring shelter, a place of safety. It would surely continue to exist as it had for centuries.